Thank you, dear Lord, for gently correcting this terrible habit that could prevent me from ever entering into my promised land. Please help us to break this detestable practice. Amen. Well, dear family, it's taken me days to come to an honest realization of just how infected I have been with bitterness. My head was down in prayer, this ugly sight, but Jesus lifted my chin until I was gazing into his eyes. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. But be very careful not to allow entrance of discontent, which precedes bitterness. Oh, thank you, Lord. Jesus continued, Oh, my darling Claire, when you pine away from me and I must stay in the shadows out of your sight, it hurts me deeply. I love you so, and to see you wasting away for just a glance from me, my heart is moved to profound pity. Oh, that the whole world could know what I go through when I must distance myself from a soul in order to save them from sin. Oh, if only you knew, my beloved ones, what I go through. Do you remember your first love? You jumped every time the phone rang because you wanted to be with them. Tell them about the day's events and hear their laughter and sweet acknowledgments of love from them. That is how it is for me. I can't wait until you wake up, get your coffee, and come before me searching for some sign of my presence with you. Oh, truly, I can't wait. It is very difficult for me in those first moments. I say to myself, will she make it into prayer or get snagged? And I bristle with joy when I see you walking away from every distraction because you're in a hurry to be with me. Did you know that I go through this every morning? No, Lord, I had no idea. Well, I do. Your angel is always on the lookout for what could keep you from me. He assists me in getting you settled so we can be together. I wish you would anticipate my presence just a bit sooner in the morning, but I know you are still very groggy. While I, on the other hand, have been waiting for hours for this moment. Wow, that's amazing, truly amazing, Lord. My heart dwellers have no idea how solicitous I am for their affections before the world distracts and snags them or causes them to become sad or angry. I long to be united to each and every one of you first thing in the morning. I long for that bond to last all through the morning and afternoon and even at bedtime. It is then that I long for you to fall asleep in my arms or bring me a situation that you don't have peace about. I want you all to rest securely upon my bosom, because that is truly your home while away from heaven. And this quality about you, that you love to dwell in my heart, is the most threatening thing you can do to the enemy. He hates your knowing me, your deep desire to be filled with my love. He hates it all and goes to extreme lengths to stop this habit from forming. Now we will talk about the vines of bitterness that choke off the life of God in a soul. My dear ones, first you must remember that you signed on to this army of God. You pledged your fidelity, for better or for worse, and no one in the armed forces gets involved in civilian affairs. This is the enemy's goal, to turn you inwards and so self-involve that you are no longer effective at guarding your country. One way he accomplishes that is to lie to you and tell you that you just can't hack it. It's too hard. God is too cruel. The opposition is overwhelming, and you're being forced to do unreasonable things you cannot ever live up to. If he gets you to swallow that line, he has cracked the door open just enough for the reasoning of self-pity to gain entrance. Many times I have asked you to pray the Stations of the Cross, and you avoid them, Claire. This hurts me, not only because I want to share that part of my life intimately with you, but because I know it will give you the resolve to fight harder and longer to stay on track. The intimacy we share in those meditations is like no other. entering into my heart during my passion is where all the reserves of love are kept. It is a great treasury that, when deeply participated in, unites us together as no other thing can. You come away with the resolve and strength to man up and keep going. As a result of these meditations, you were strengthened to carry on in the midst of a multitude of problems without growing angry or despondent or impatient. Oh, my dear children, anger is a serious poison that takes very little to kill, steal, and destroy the life that's in you. It is the life's blood of Satan. He sets you up, dear ones, to respond in anger, which acts as a fertilizer to grow a seed of bitterness into a twisted vine full of thorns. Those thorns are what you hurt others with, and the twisted vine shut down a smooth-flowing river of prayer, creativity, and joy. To grow angry is to grow choking vines. No one is exempt from these seeds of bitterness except the very humble and attentive soul. And what I am asking you to do here is to learn how to resist the seeds of bitterness. Your productivity in all areas of your life has been stunted. Claire, you have wondered why you can't get music done. This is one of the reasons. Looking at you, I would have to say that 2/3 of you is being twisted and held down by these vines that have cut off circulation to vital parts of your spiritual body, which does indeed affect your physical body. Here is a report, guys. I'm going to digress here for a moment. This is a report from one of our prayer warriors about the state of our souls and corporately as a body of believers. This is what she saw in prayer and the Lord revealed to her. Holy Spirit prayed in tongues, and I was assailed with feelings of bitterness, anger, irritation, frustration, pride, and defensiveness. These are certainly feelings I've experienced recently, but you have taught me that these are simply tricks of the enemy meant to sow division, isolation, and conflict. I recognize that at present these feelings were not mine. I was then shown thick, thorny vines, which were growing and spreading throughout heart dwellers. There was a particular effort by these vines to involve you and Ezekiel, as well as several individuals you rely upon for the daily running of heart dwellers. They also infiltrated those involved in the priesthood. These vines originated from small seeds of bitterness, which are being sown in hearts as we speak. I do not know how long it takes for a single tiny seed to grow into a thick, thorny, rapidly extending vine like the ones I was shown. And there are many vines entwined throughout heart dwellers. My impression was that these seeds of bitterness originated from small events, moments of anger, irritation, and in particular frustration, as well as pride, hurt, and defensiveness. My sense was that these were short-lived events, but they were not repented of at the time, and as a result, they began to grow. Without being addressed in each individual heart, they continue to grow rapidly and multiply. So this will be a very important point for us, guys. We really need to recognize these vines in us and ask the Lord to remove them and the seed and close the doors. She continued, "It was on my heart that these seeds of bitterness have the ability to hide themselves from an individual until they reach a sufficient size and are embedded firmly in the heart. Those individuals that are more aware and sensitive to this matter will realize their presence far sooner. But many of us tend to brush off these events and continue about our business without repentance and restoration at that time." So I think here what I want to say is that the very moment we get irritated, that very moment we've crossed a line and we've received a seed, and we need to repent of that irritation and ask the Lord to remove the seed, because it grows rapidly into a vine if we don't. She continued here, "These vines look dangerous. They are thorn-filled and sharp, able to do damage not only to the ones involved, but to all of those nearby. I have an impression, as I dictate this email, that these thorns have been ripping wounds into adjacent spiritual bodies. Just the thought of this makes me cry. The end. In other words, guys, not only are we tied down by these thorns, but this thorniness pierces other people. And we can see that especially when we have a defensive reaction to someone. Jesus began, "This description is accurate and to be trusted, Claire. These things begin at the top and filter down, so you must take responsibility for this as a mother. Teach your children how to resist these seeds and how to cut the vines down when they grow. How do you receive a seed of bitterness? You will be shocked at the scope of this. You see, this is the state of the older Israelite souls in Exodus. That is, the ones that had to die in the desert before they could come into the promised land. This is why they could not enter. This also is why Moses was left behind." Wow. My heart dwellers, right now I just want to apologize to you for giving place to anger and irritation and receiving these seeds. I repent. Please forgive me. Please don't follow my bad example. He continued, "You start by recognizing you were tired, overworked, hungry, and not prayed up. Any kind of disease or pain increases this likelihood. This is the condition the demons seek to prepare the soil of your hearts to receive bitterness. Seeds of bitterness come in many different forms, but pride is the mother of all these dynamics. Resentment, impatience, disappointment and delay, anger, opposition, contradiction, lack of cooperation, conflict, delay, fear, irritation, pain, frustration, failure, and defeat and discouragement." And by no means is that a complete list, but those are the things that he brought to mind. Jesus continued, "By your patience you preserve your soul." That's Luke 21. "In short, anything that irritates you has the potential to be accompanied by a seed of bitterness. Patience is necessary for you, that doing the will of God you may receive the promise." That's Hebrews 10:36. "You see, this is a monumental work, avoiding seeds. It is not for the faint-hearted, but for the bold and persevering who have chosen to rise to any occasion in their lives and keep going to gain the victory. My people, you cannot do this on your own. You must be closely united with me, and not just one day a week, but always, because the enemy looks for a breach in our relationship to exploit every single second of your lives. I'm calling on all of you to set your face like flint. When any adversity of any kind comes, recognize it for what it is, an occasion to grow in holiness, overcome your flesh, and save a soul, or perhaps even your country. If you get this firmly embedded in your mind and heart, you will not give in to anger, disappointment, failure, rage, or any other negative attitude. Rather, you will rise up against your flesh and put it into submission under your spirit. Simply stated, close the door to your heart and repent of your reaction. Ask me to remove the seed immediately and thank me for this occasion to grow and suffer. Dear ones, James laid out the path to holiness very quickly," Jesus continued. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Allow perseverance to finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in holiness." That's his addition. "Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." In other words, rise up in your heart and ask, "Lord, what are you doing here, and how can I cooperate? Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Do you see, children? not giving in to despair and negativity, but clinging to me with all your hearts is a sign of your great love for me. It is a sign of great favor before God. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. No, I do not tempt anyone, but I do allow tests. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he's lured away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Jesus said, to paraphrase this, I could just as easily say, you are led away by your attachments to your flesh and your fancies. Then you pursue these things, not understanding that they are indeed a bondage, cutting you off from a productive future. Satan waits for these obstacles to you fulfilling your flesh and incites you into a tantrum when you can't satisfy yourself. This is where the anger and bitterness enter in. Seeds are sown in the heart and grow into a large thorny vine, cutting off circulation to other parts of your being, spirit, soul, and body. Then he quotes, my beloved brothers, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and every expression of evil, and humbly receive the word planted in you, which can save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, otherwise you are deceiving yourselves. For anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after observing himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and continues to do so, not being a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, he will be blessed in what he does. And if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart, and his religion is worthless. And so you ask me, what is the perfect law of freedom? Jesus continued. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Therein lies perfect freedom. Yet just like your nation did not obtain freedom without tremendous sacrifice, neither will you be free until you're willing to give up anything, no matter how dear, when I call for it. But rest assured, I never require something of you that I do not replace it with something far greater than what you lost. So in the end, you do not lose, my beloved ones. You only gain more of me and eternal life. Therefore, I am asking you to exercise detachment from having things your way. When you feel that something is opposing what you want, be on the alert. You are walking right into a test in virtue. Cry out to me if you must, but please do not take on a seed of bitterness. If you do, repent immediately and ask me to remove it. Then express your resolve to give me whatever I ask of you. I guarantee you it is something you no longer need, unless I bring it back to you later. Well, that was the end of his message. Wow. Well, finally, all I can say is if you're ready to really make this a rule of life, please ask Holy Spirit to show you the vines that are twisted around your life. Ask him to show you the bitterness. Then ask the Lord to please remove them and the seed. Repent fully and enjoy a newfound freedom and guard it very carefully because Satan will not at all be pleased with you. He will soon look for new ways to plant new seeds of bitterness within your heart. I love you all, dear heart dwellers, and I want to thank you for supporting us with your prayers and your donations. It means so much to us. It's hard to keep things going without donations, so I am very, very grateful that you've had it put on your heart to sustain us and keep us doing the things that we love to do for you. And I wanted to say that a new book is coming out now, the healing book, well, I'm calling it the healing book. The title of it is When God Heals and When He Doesn't. It's available on Amazon, but if you send me a postcard or a note in the mail, I'll send you free a copy. Our agenda is not to sell books. Our agenda is to get the word of the Lord out to you. So anyone who requests a book, I will give it to them. And part of your donations go to that, as well as to trafficked children, Nicaragua, the situation in Nicaragua. They are really growing. Their families are really growing, coming in for food at the feeding centers. And Eric's Flute Maker Ministries is doing a wonderful job in reaching families that are terribly in need of food and medical attention in remote villages. So we appreciate so much your donations. We do send a large part of what comes in the door out to charities that we know are legitimate and in need. And you can find those also on heartdwellers.org on our outreach page. And any time that you have a problem trying to find something, always go to heartdwellers.org, because everything that we've ever published or written or recorded is on heartdwellers.org. And if there should be a breach in our communications, you can always patch it up over there. So the Lord bless you and thank you for your kindness to us. Please continue to pray, and we pray for you as well.